Our guest on this portion of this morning's What's on Your Mind program, Representative Tim Butler from Springfield, and focusing this morning on school funding. The bill has been mandatorily vetoed. Can you give us a status update?
Sure, Gary. Thanks for the opportunity. The bill, which had been held by the Democrats for almost 2 months, finally was sent to the governor last week. The governor issued an amendatory veto of the bill, which meant he made some substantive changes to the bill. And it's now been sent back to the Senate, which was the main sponsor of the bill, the first sponsor of the bill. So the Senate has until the middle of August, I believe the 16th or 17th, the Senate has 15 days to act on to either agree to the mandatory veto, to vote to override the governor's veto, totally override the governor's veto, or not act on it at all, in which case the bill would die. I would assume that the Senate will move to do a total override of the governor's veto, would be my guess. And I'm hearing that the Senate will be back in Sunday, August 13th, is the day that I'm hearing they're going to go back in, when the first day they can get their members back in town to be able to take action on it. So I'm guessing that's what's going to happen, is that the Senate will move to do a total override of the veto, and then if that is successful, then it will go to the House, and then the House will have 15 days to act as well.
Are there votes there in the Senate?
I believe there probably would be the votes in the Senate. The Senate Democrats have a supermajority in the Senate, so and that's what is needed to override a governor's veto totally. I would assume that they would have the votes to do it. I do not think in the House that there are the votes to override. We have 51 House Republicans. The Democrats do not have a supermajority in the House. And I think the Republicans stand almost unanimously opposed to the original Senate Bill 1, especially since it really shows some favoritism to Chicago, and we're trying to advocate for being more fair in the bill and trying to advocate for our own school districts, especially those of us downstate.
And then there are those Democrats who claim that Collar County is going to do well with this bill to the detriment of downstate. Your thoughts on that with the amendments?
Well, I'm still taking a look at the amendatory veto. I think the governor made some pretty substantive changes there. I believe the State Board of Education is going to come back in the next day or so with the numbers on what the governor has proposed under his amendatory veto. But the fact of the matter is, I don't think the amendatory veto is even a question, to be honest with you, because I don't think the Democrats, it's completely up to the Democrats to determine what they want to vote on going forward, whether it's a complete override of the bill or vote to concur in the amendatory veto. Those are basically their two options. And I do not see where the Democrats will concur with the governor's amendatory veto. Senator Menard had a news conference last week and was vehemently opposed to the governor's amendatory changes. I think also there was, none of that, the House or Senate Republicans really had seen much of the amendatory veto beforehand. So I think we have some questions as well. But I just don't see where the amendatory veto is really even on the table at this point, because the Democrats have been so vehemently opposed to it. So then I think the only option at that point is the Democrats are going to try for a total override, which would mean the original bill, attempt to enact the original bill. And I don't see where those of us on the Republican side agree with that piece of legislation. It gives far too much to Chicago. It includes the Chicago, the pension costs for the Chicago public school system in the formula, runs it through the funding formula for schools, which means that will give a lot more money to Chicago as if the pension payments were outside of the formula.
It would seem to lend itself, with the 13th being the date here, for some sort of talk, something to be done before Sunday.
Well, I would. I know there are discussions that have been happening. Each of the four legislative caucuses has identified a couple lead negotiators. I believe there have been discussions and meetings every single day since early last week to try to hammer this out. You know, my concern, very honestly, is that when I talk to some of the people who are negotiating, is that the Democrats are kind of slow walking this. They had 2 months to send the governor to the bill to his desk, and they didn't send it to him, and they finally did. And now it looks like they're taking the complete almost 30 days that it's that they have the ability to take while attempting to either agree to the mandatory veto or override it. So I think there's a lot of playing out the string here going on, and I think in the negotiations, I believe that they're trying to feel each other out to figure out where people are at on things, but I think for a lot of us it's pretty simple. I've been supportive of trying to assist Chicago Public Schools with their pension costs, but I think it's not right to send those through the formula. And I know that gets a little arcane with people, but if you send the money for the pensions through the formula, as opposed to putting them in the pension code, as is the case with other pensions, it means that more money goes to Chicago on top of money that they will be receiving, their historical money that they'll be receiving in a huge block grant that they receive annually, which is something that none of the schools outside of Chicago get. So it's added money to Chicago at the expense of downstate and suburban schools. And that's really, I think, the big issue here is that we want parity and fairness when it comes to figuring out the dollars that go to the students around our state.
Meanwhile, schools are saying, we got a payment coming up. Are we going to get any money?
Well, that's a great question, and I think, you know, we are actually past the deadline when the vouchers, how it works is there's vouchers from the State Board of Education that go to the comptroller, and then the comptroller would make those payments. That's usually how it works. I believe we are past the deadline for the vouchers to be sent to the comptroller, though we're not past the deadline for the payments to go out. What I have suggested to our leadership and to others, some of the people that are negotiating, is that we have this conflict in the law. You know, the Democrats, when they pass the budget, attached what's called a evidence-based funding model, which is Senate Bill 1, an evidence-based funding model to enactment of the budget. So now, you know, the government's hands are tied, basically, by saying that to put out funding for schools, it has to be under an evidence-based model. Well, in current law, we do not have a definition of an evidence-based model. And until a law is totally enacted that would define an evidence-based model, we have a big conflict here that you know, we don't know how to put out the money if we don't have an evidence-based model. And what I've told folks is, well, what we ought to do, since there is this conflict in the law, is have the State Board of Education send the vouchers under the current formula, the current general state aid formula, send those to the comptroller, put those on her desk, and let her make the decision if she wants to send them out. And then while we try to hammer out the details on a new funding formula moving forward, and then if we need to come back later on and address some of the maybe underpayments that might be they take place under the current formula, we can address those. But I think it's vitally important that we do whatever we can to try to get these payments out to schools.
What are you hearing from the schools? Are some of the schools in your district, are they up against it?
Well, you know, I have about 50 schools in the district that I represent. I have very good relationships with a lot of our school administrators, and what I've heard across the board is that the schools in my area can go probably into the next calendar year without running into problems when it comes to funding. Now, I certainly don't want them to do that. That means they'll be spending down their reserves. But, you know, schools in my area are going to open and they're going to continue to function through the fall. Now, I think I met with a bunch of school administrators on Friday in Springfield, and, you know, I didn't hear, honestly, a lot of support for SB 1. I think what people really want is just some certainty that they are going to get paid. And, I mean, I do think a lot of these administrators and school folks would be happy just getting 100% of their funding under the general state aid formula, which is our current formula, and they have not received, other than this past year, they had not received 100% funding for quite a long time. And I think if they could just get their aid along with what's called the categorical payments, which are the payments that go for transportation costs and special education, I think they could live with that because they haven't been getting those payments. So while we try to duke it out on a new formula, I think everyone agrees that our current funding formula is outdated and need changes. But that doesn't mean we shouldn't be, you know, sending out payments while we're trying to hammer this out. We can still continue under the current formula until we get some answers on where we should go with an evidence-based formula.
And I would agree that trying to put together some substantive changes right now is probably, in terms of a timetable, not really feasible. The problem with kicking it down the road too much further is you run right into another election cycle next year.
Well, that's part of the problem in our current environment. You know, elections are every 2 years. But, you know, I think those of us that are in these positions need to realize we have to tackle some of these big issues, whether it's an election year or not an election year. And I do think there's pretty broad agreement on where we should go with the formula. The real hang-up becomes, you know, when we do things like put in the pension costs for Chicago, which came in at the last minute in a House amendment. It wasn't even in the Senate-passed version that Senator Menar had. It came in at the last minute in the House. And you know, those are the things that we get hung up on. But the formula itself and where we want to go to try to make school funding more equitable across our state, I think there's broad support for that. So I actually think if we just got honest with each other and realized that, you know, there are Republicans that will help out Chicago public schools when it comes to the pensions, but let's do it outside of the formula, I think we can move forward pretty quickly and get something done.
Representative Butler, thank you very much for your time.
Absolutely, Gary. Take care.